So you all grew up there, Helen and Mary and Bernie and Emily and
Carmel.
And Carmel.
And two other daughters, they lived there as well.
So how many in the family all
together? I have six daughters.
Have you? And how many?
Well, the other two are younger. The other two is the youngest.
Yeah. So you all grew up there. Yeah. But I want to find out before you came on the scene at all that, you know, what was it like there? I mean,
It was no shops or anything. You'd have to go into town if you wanted to hairdressers. And we done our grocery shopping in Malloy's pub. That's where we done our grocery shopping.
And because it was a kind of like an army camp, did it have resemblance of like the houses that the soldiers lived in, or a wall? Was there a wall around it?
Well, our house didn't.
Kind of had. You think back, there's kind of a feel of it. But what I remember was the hooter that used to go off.
The hooter, yeah.
And that was an old army. You know, like you hear the hooter
like
when a bomb was coming or something. They used those for certain times. What was it, 12:45?
For the lunch. Yeah.
Eight o'clock.
Well, yeah.
10 to 8. Yeah. 8 o'clock.
And that would be the feel of
lunchtime and
arminess.
5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. But so rearing a family like that and having, I'm sure that nearly everyone in the area were actually working for Ernie.
They were, yeah. Everybody was involved. Well, there wasn't many people on. Well, people are from the village.
So can you remember what year it was that you moved out here?
Well, I've been born in 1949.
And I was born in 51.
Yeah, you were born in 51.
I was born in 51.
And
was I born when you were living in Talla?
Yeah.
The first house.
Yeah, so therefore they moved. They have to. I was born in March 51.
So they would have
moved in 1950 then.
And you're the eldest.
I'm the eldest.
Emily. Yes,
yeah, I'm the eldest.
So then, so at that time, you know, what was your husband doing in the factory?
Well, he came out. He was a fitter. He had lots of jobs in it when he ended up.
He started as a fitter.
He started as a fitter.
Yeah.
And then he was an engineer. And then he done security. And he done hygiene. And
safety.
No, he
That's
done...
That's what he ended.
Yeah.
When they closed, he was a safety officer.
And he worked there right to the end. Until
he was the last person, I think, to leave Orney Factory. The
in 1981, wasn't it?
80.
The end of 80. 80. The end of 80.
Yeah. August 80, we moved out in.
We were the last.
We were the last there.
January
81.
Okay.
We moved in.
The end of January.
Right. Okay. Can I go back to you again and ask you about those early days that you did, when you did move out here? Were you lonely?
Well, yes, because there was nobody, many people around. Well, I got to know the people, as I say, up where Helen lived, was just at the back. You know, at the end of our garden, their houses would be...
Continuation, really.
Their back garden, back to
back. Their back garden, back to back, like, you know.
And so, in fact, there were very few houses out here at all.
Yeah, there wasn't really no houses, just that the houses belonged to...
26 houses up
to the 20 at the time.
20 at the time, And then there was five Ernie houses.
Well, we were in that first house, and then Ernie wanted that house for... you were having a training centre for new staff that was coming in, and we moved up. We moved down the road up in the grounds of Orney Chocolates, right up in the grounds into another house belonged to Orney Chocolates.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I think you were born. You were born when we were in that house, because I remember
that was 53.
I took bad that night, and we had to go up to one of our. I don't know whether you remember the skeletons.
I know the
lived
name.
In another one of Horny houses, and it was the middle of the night when we had to end up going to Hollis Street Hospital when Mary was born, and we had to go to our neighbour to know would she mind Emily while we went into the hospital. And then we moved from that house then back down to the last house that...
Where we were all right.
The last house that we were in.
Which is where Windsor is now, Windsor Montrose.
Oh, I see. But Emily, you're the eldest and, you know, kind of you're... When you came on the scene, where was the school for you? Where did you go?
We had to go to school down to Cork Street.
Weaver Square
and Cork Street.
Can I ask you just one talk at a time? Because when you're listening back to this, nobody will know who's talking, you know.
Yeah, so, we used to have to go to Weaver Square and Cork Street. We used to have to get the bus down to school because there was no school in Tala at the time. And we went there until our junior cert, which was what, 15, 16.
Can you remember your teachers? Who taught you?
Oh, goodness. There was a Mrs. Walsh. There was Sister John. Sister Genevieve. Sister Victoria.
What order?
There was a convent. There was the order of Sisters of Mercy. Yeah. Sisters of Mercy in Cork Street.
Yeah. Were you happy with your education? As happy as one can be going to school?
Yeah, we used to pray for them going down the bus. You know, the lads from Sing Street used to be going on the bus as well. We used to pray for them going down the bus. Yeah, we did. It was just awkward getting home because the fact that we lived up here at Ernie's, some of the buses only used to go to Tala Village, and we used to have to walk from Tala Village up home. And then, of course, the buses were very few and very far between. If you missed one, you could have a couple of hours to wait on another one. You know, we used to walk over to Leonard's Corner to get another bus that was there. But like that too, we'd always only get them to Tala Village, and you had to walk from Tala Village up, like, which was, I suppose it wasn't that far, but at the time it seemed forever when you were looking school bags with you, you know? Yeah.
And if there was a bus strike, the Ernie vans used to pick us up halfway and bring us home.
Our daddy used to bring us in sometimes, and one of the other friends of ours that used to go to school from Tala Village, her father, remember Mr. Con O'Gorman? Mm-hmm. He used to pick us up and bring us home when there was bus strikes, because we'd no other way of getting there.
Yeah.
You know?
And what kind of pastimes, what were you doing?
We used to make stilts in Daddy's shed with the wood.
Computers with the
Brazil nut boxes. That's right. And we used to, the tires of bikes, them with sticks up and down the Colbert's Fort, up and down the terrace, we used to play with them. And then, of course, there was the youth club in Tala as well. There was youth like that too, that was in Tala Village as well.
Yeah.
And you used to be et if you didn't get out for the last bus, because you used to have to walk up, and you might be halfway up the Tala Road, and the lights used to go off at 12 o'clock. There was no lights. You'd be walking up in pitch black.
Yeah, of course, yes.
You know? But there used to be...
But was there the same kind of worry and scare that...
No, I don't think there was. Not that there is now. No, there wasn't. I mean, you'd be terrified coming up in the dark. But you wouldn't...
Past the graveyard.
No, it wasn't the graveyard that used to get us. You used to be halfway up the Belgard Road. And remember the man that used to have the farm at the end of the road?
Tom Dorn.
He had a gateway halfway up that road. And there was two pillars... And there was a flat slab of concrete and a ball on top of it. And it used to always look like a man with a hat on him. And no matter how often we knew that was there, you still came across it and you'd still jump when you'd see it. You know, coming up the road. I always remember that.
Yeah.
But there was the youth club. It was in Dominic's Hall in Tala. But there wasn't.
Yeah.
That was all there was, really.
And then as you grew up, where did you go for entertainment and dance and all that?
Dominic's and Doyle's Hall in Tala Village. We never really went outside the village that much as such, really. Yeah. You know? We got older now, you'd go to different other youth clubs, like you'd go to Dora Farnham Youth Club. There was one there at the time, because that's where I met my husband. And but that was about it. They used to have a festival in Tala every year. They used to have... We were at that time. The kids now wouldn't be interested in that, really. But you never went into town or that now. I mean, you might go... As far as town, if you want to go to the pictures of that, but that was rare. We hadn't got a chipper. Remember, Mammy and Daddy used to go into my grandmother's in Sandymount on a Friday night, and we used to be all sitting up waiting for them to come home because they used to stop in Terenure to bring us home chips, because that was our nearest chip shop. That was our nearest chip shop, was in Terenure, you know, and they used to stop there to bring home chips.
Yeah.
At night time, but that was it. Like there were simple pleasures at the time. Like we thought we were great at the time. And going to the dances and told to be home early. And if you missed the last bus, you'd have Daddy sitting at the doorstep waiting on you.
and you know, when you look at Tala now, and it's completely a different place. Yeah. But it was really, you actually witnessed the village growing.
Yeah.
And did any kind of, was there a community out here? Was there a community spirit? And,
no, not really. Oh, there still isn't. Still isn't, even in Belgard here. no.
Yeah.
Communities, nothing, nothing ever takes.
What about, how many of you then worked in with Ernie inside?
Well, I think we all did at one stage.